Welcome to Measure Matters, the podcast where we unravel the intricacies of measurement technology to keep you ahead of the curve. I'm Brandon Simmons, your host and web strategist at Mensur, thrilled to have you join us for another enlightening discussion today. We're delighted to welcome back Robert Clayton, our esteemed director of engineering at Mensur, as we delve into the formidable challenges of low pressure calibration. Get ready to gain valuable insight into this critical aspect of precision measurement.
You're listening to Measure Matters, a podcast by Mensur.
Robert, thank you for coming back. What are some of the more common challenges or intricacies of low pressure calibration that you see on a day-to-day basis?
Well, there's a whole host of things. Typically, what we consider to be low pressure calibrations are things below, maybe 2 or 3 PSI, something like that, you know, below like maybe 250 millibar kind of range. And there's a lot of issues that are involved in calibrating those that exist in higher pressure calibrations, but their effects are magnified at lower pressures. There's always some floor where your reference standard that you use to calibrate something else, there's a floor where you can never get an uncertainty below some amount. I mean, there's always some fixed value, you know, and it's being a fixed amount. As you start to calibrate lower and lower pressure ranges, that becomes a larger and larger percentage of the measurement that you're making or the accuracy that you're trying to accomplish. And I don't know, I suspect we'll probably talk about some of these factors that involve, but that's one of the big ones for sure.
Right. And I'm glad you said that, because that kind of leads me into my next question. Could you like give insight, a little bit more insight into these external factors or influences, and how does Mensur kind of work around these effects?
Sure. Well, one of the first ones that's really a problem with low pressure calibrations is just ambient noise, pressure noise. If you open or close a door in a room, it changes the pressure in the room. If you're calibrating something that's relatively high pressure, it's not that much of an effect. But as you get lower and lower pressures, it becomes more and more obvious. So like Mensur, particularly, we're well aware of this issue. And in our old building, we used to have problems where we couldn't do low pressure calibrations whenever it was a windy day, because the wind would blow on the building enough, and there was enough leaks and stuff in the building where the room pressures would change just constantly.
So y'all definitely had a tough time during the cold weather.
Oh yeah. Whenever cold fronts came in, it was a mess. And so what we did was, when we built this building, we actually sealed our calibration lab, as well as possible, so that it's completely disconnected from any kind of atmospheric conditions outside. So our calibration lab sits in the middle of our building as a sealed unit inside of the building, which is somewhat sealed. And then for our low pressure calibrations, we actually have a separate room inside of our calibration lab that's sealed against that. So and that's why we have our airlock doors going into our calibration lab to keep pressure changes from happening. So there was a lot of effort that went into that. One of the other things that can affect low pressure calibrations is temperature changes. Mm-hmm. Any time that you increase the temperature of a gas, it increases its pressure. And it's a fixed amount though, right? So it's like you grab hold of a pressure line, it's going to go up in pressure a certain amount. But as you get lower and lower and lower in pressures, that amount that it heats up from temperature changes gets larger and larger as a percentage. And so in our calibration setup on our low pressure, in our low pressure room, all of our pressure lines are insulated. So if there's temperature changes, the air conditioning starts blowing or whatever, it doesn't affect it as much. So there's a lot of things like that we've put into place to make our calibrations easier for us, and ultimately they're more accurate and better for our customers.
Right. So with all those things that, you know, can be factors as far as like, you know, forcing, you know, affecting temperature readings and our pressure readings and all that, like what are some of the more common errors that you've seen as far as with low pressure calibration? What are some like missteps that have happened or discrepancies that have happened?
Ooh, that's a good question. I guess adding to those other two things that we kind of talked about, I guess, are leaks. You can have very microscopic leaks that can really affect the pressure inside of a system, where you get a pressure differential across the system because of leaks on one end of it or the other. Right. So you have to be really careful about that. So that's another point, I guess, to be cautious about.
Right. And so with pressure leaks, like, that means that the pressure is
Yeah, you don't have a sealed system with whatever your reference standard is connected to your device that you're testing. And if you've got a leak on either end of it, you'll wind up with pressure gradients in your system. And it basically gives you a measurement bias, an offset that you will have in your calibrations. And it's not a good thing.
I can imagine. So with Mensa, like, how do they approach like developing and validating these pressure instruments that, you know, they have to use low pressure precision? How do they go about like just developing and creating those machines and while still maintaining the regulation standards?
Yeah. Well, when we first started really developing lower pressure sensors, things that are maybe like 25 millibar, 0.36 PSI, 0.37 PSI, very low pressure, full scale standards. We did a lot of work with one of our very good customers that has an excellent calibration lab. And we would test devices and send them to them, and they would test them, and we would compare our results. And we also tested them using multiple different types of pressure standards, so we could really nail down what we thought our uncertainties that we could accomplish in those ranges were. So we got really good correlation with them, like I said, across different types of pressure standards. So we went to a lot of effort to make sure we were doing what we were saying we were doing.
Gotcha. Awesome. So can you like give like a little bit more examples of maybe some low pressure calibration challenges that you encountered, and you know how you or your team were able to like fix those problems?
Sure. Particularly for like our customers, one of the things that on our pressure controllers particularly is important is to try to get rid of those atmospheric pressure changes that I was talking about, having them affect the calibration. And so we've developed some things that we call like basically buffers on the reference side of an instrument that can mitigate pressure changes from, like I said, doors closing or wind or whatever. That's one thing that's a real helpful thing. The hardware, like I said, I mean, the infrastructure that we have in our Cal Lab, and we also use a combination of deadweight testers to do these low pressure calibrations. One of the problems with these low pressure standards is there's not a really great standard that everybody across the world uses, like piston gauges are used for most high accuracy reference standards on calibrations. But the problem with a piston gauge is that you've got a piston that basically you're putting air or gas underneath or in low pressure applications.
Right.
But there's that piston has a certain amount of mass. And so you can never get below the area of the piston and whatever the the force that the piston exerts on the gas, you can never get below that pressure. Mm-hmm. So typically you can't get them below, I don't know, a couple of tenths of a PSI or something like that. So how do you calibrate something that's of a similar range? It makes it really difficult. And basically what we do is run two deadweight testers. So we'll take one deadweight and get it up to some pressure, and we'll take the other deadweight and we'll match it so that they're the same, or we know exactly what the offset is. And from that pressure level, we leave the one on the reference side of our device under test static, and then we can add masses and things to the pressure side deadweight to generate these differential pressures. It's at an elevated line pressure, but it enables us to have really good accuracies and really good resolution to be able to do those cals. They're time consuming and difficult, but that's the most consistent way that we found to be able to do that.
Robert Clayton, thank you for coming and telling us about the challenges for low pressure calibration instruments. Really appreciate your time. That's all we got for y'all today. I'm Brandon Simmons for Measure Matters. Thank you.
Subscribe to Measure Matters for the most up-to-date information on all things metrology.